You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And to come and save her, better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. When to turn right, but you turn all the way.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show today. We love this show, and we love this show because of the people we meet as part of this show. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and we have one of our very favorite guests with us today. Welcome to our guest. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Hi there. My name is Rebecca Chaloux, and I am a COVID compliance officer and a COVID compliance expert for television and film. How are you today, Dawn?
I am well, and I thank you. I thank you. Madoma, hey, a big thanks, as we say in our language, for joining us today. It's really an honor to have you here. So let's define our terms. What exactly is it that you do?
What I do is, well, let's start with before COVID. So before COVID, I already worked in the television and film industry. I had started out as a child actor.
Oh.
And over the years, as I got older, I had realized that it's probably better off to be on the crew. So I had done things like been head of the craft service department, which is basically handing out snacks or making snacks, setting up a snack table. I had worked in other departments, too. I'd been an assistant prop master on a Sean Penn television show called The First. And so I had a few years of experience of being on the crew. And so once COVID hit, I was hanging out with one of the world's best gaffers, which are the lighting technicians. His name is Mason McGuire. We were just hanging out outside of work one day, and I was complaining about how I'd worked some film crew job, and I didn't think the COVID compliance officer was taking it seriously. Mm-hmm. And so Mason is the one who lit the torch and said, Rebecca, you should be a COVID compliance officer. You're already a nag about making people wear a mask and stuff. That should be your job.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. He actually told me about a website called Health Education Services where you could take an online course in being a COVID compliance officer. And so that was the first course that I took. And it was only about a month later when I got my very first COVID compliance job. And so this was back in about October of 2020. And so my very first COVID compliance job was on a commercial for a company called Bet America, which, to be honest, I had never heard of before that.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a few celebrities in the commercial, including Brett Favre. And this was before the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were really, you know, nervous about COVID. And I think this was the beginning of probably insurance companies and unions demanding that they have some sort of COVID compliance on set. So that's how my position was created and how I ended up starting to get the credentials to do that job. And so so that's what I did. I was COVID compliance on that job. It was successful. Nobody caught COVID. I did a COVID test everybody or facilitate their COVID testing, and we temp checked everybody, and everybody had to wear a mask. But it went well. I remember the most awkward moment of my first COVID compliance job being that the hair and makeup lady, who's a friend of mine named Erin, she tried to walk in the back door of an open restaurant in Mississippi to microwave her lunch, and I legit tackled her.
Wow.
And I told her, I said, you know what? I'm younger than you. I'm going to take the bullet. And I grabbed her lunch. And I went with my mask on into this open restaurant kitchen in Mississippi and threw her lunch in the microwave. Well, she peeked through the door and watched me, and then I came back out with it. But every little decision like that on a really well-run set is going to be run through a COVID compliance officer who's going to educate that person or tell them, wait, that's a dangerous moment. All those people are unmasked in that kitchen. Sorry if this was a long-winded way of explaining it, but that's what I do. I'm a COVID compliance officer, and basically I guide people who are working in a film set, whether they're actors, executives, or crew. I try to stop them if they're doing something in a COVID unsafe way, and just show them how to do it in a safer way. And ideally, we all never catch COVID. That's the goal. It's a good goal. So for the first year of doing this job, I think I'd done it on about 10 different projects. And once Omicron hit in November of 2021 or December, I was working on a show called Marry Me Now on the Oprah Winfrey Network. And by this point, I had worked my way up to where I was the head of their COVID department.
Wow.
And I was their contact tracer. And so they had me go from late August until right before Christmas to Houston, Texas. And that's where we were filming the show. And so that's what we did. Well, at the Thanksgiving break, I went and got my booster. I advised everybody do it. I think we had a crew of 17 people. Only two of us went and got the booster over Thanksgiving break.
Oh, my.
So I had a feeling we were in for it, okay?
In fact, we were.
So I've come back from Thanksgiving, and I'm a nerd, and just about every night, I'll commit at least an hour or two to reading the latest studies or news articles or research about COVID, just so I can try to stay ahead of the curve on knowledge. I figure knowledge is the only way out of this.
That's right.
So I called the production coordinator on our show one night, and we had two production coordinators on the show. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I called them both within a 24-hour time span. And I said, you guys, I don't know how to say this, but I think we're imminently about to have what's called an Omicron outbreak.
Oh, my.
And then I tried to explain to them that I'd been doing some scientific research, and I had uncovered that in the Harris County, Houston, Texas wastewater, that 20% of the population, which is 1 million people, were already testing positive through the wastewater. Mm. 6 days later, one of our talent tested positive. So the network called me, and, you know, I was the official lead investigator on the case, and they asked me, who do you think is going to catch it next? And I told them, well, you hired a couple unvaccinated people, and despite my best efforts, they never got vaxxed, so it's going to be them. The next week, they got it. Mm. So for the next 3 weeks, it became a tenuous struggle of me kind of becoming a COVID historian at that point and just documenting what was going on. It all started with one person who I don't think meant to give it to anyone. This person had tested negative on a Saturday and then failed on a Tuesday. Well, we had already done some filming on Tuesday before the result came back because they had passed on Saturday. They were cleared to work Tuesday, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So we ended up accidentally exposing ourselves, and I was spared because I had a runny nose that day, so I had got up and went and walked and sat in a little back room with Daniel, another guy in the crew. And so we were both somehow not exposed by doing that.
Right.
But everyone who'd been in the main area of this bridal salon while we were filming was exposed. And one by one, about every 5 days, somebody started testing positive. So it wasn't clear to me if they all caught it from the original incident or if they kept catching it from the person who kept catching it after that.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, in a nutshell, we ended up having, I think, about 6 of our 17 crew catch COVID.
Oh.
So that was my first real experience with an outbreak on a show where I'm in charge of the COVID department. I had managed the whole year before that to keep them all 0 outbreaks. We'd had one movie where the first day someone failed, and everyone was mad at me because I took them out in the field and I fired them.
Yeah.
I said, sorry, you brought COVID to our set.
Nope.
You skipped your pre-employment test and you brought it up here, so we're letting you go.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? We had zero cases of COVID after that.
Oh, excellent.
And I'm a firm believer in on short shoots, don't try to bring people back. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. I do.
And so that's what had happened there. So anyway, so once we got to Omicron and that whole situation I just explained to you, thankfully, because of Omicron, some of the shows started paying me a little more at this point. I had a year and a half of experience or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so things got a little too much for me on Marry Me Now. And I ended up taking, they wanted to keep rolling for another 2 weeks after Christmas. And I went ahead and resigned because I thought they should shut down for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like they were not listening to me. So I amicably resigned. And within a week, A&E hired me. And so I started working on another show that was called First Blood. And I, at the same time, was working on a show called Shadowland. They were filming on different days.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was working on both of those. And I want to say my friend Hunter Thomas was working with me on both of those shows. He's a really gifted assistant camera who lives in my area and also mm-hmm. a very COVID-compliant guy that I'll exchange mm-hmm. notes with about, is this set safe or that set safe? Because as you know, that's the only way to dodge COVID right now is to really kind of pool with your friends
yes.
or your peers
right,
and say, okay, can I go to that Walmart? Is it safe? No, that Walmart's not safe. Try this Walmart. More people are wearing a mask at this Walmart. Mm-hmm. Or you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I got lucky, and this friend of mine was on those two shows with me. And I want to say on both shows, we had something similar happen. So even though these were like small shows with a crew of less than 10, we had similar things happen on one of them. Mm-hmm. We had to call in the federal COVID compliance officers, which I wasn't even aware of their existence
right.
until this moment. But apparently, if you threaten someone on in a workplace or TV show, these guys show up.
Okay.
So we had some crazy talent that threatened somebody. So this guy shows up, and he's like one of the feds. He was really cool. We hit it off. We were watching a movie in his truck. He was totally cool. He was from Texas. And so talking to that guy, I discovered he was unboostered. And it made me think back to what happened to me at Thanksgiving and how bad he needed the booster. Mm-hmm. So we're in this small town called Houma, Louisiana. And I see a sign flapping in the wind outside of an old-time pharmacy. And I said, hey, bro, look. It says 4 waste doses of Moderna getting thrown away at 4 p.m. Did you get Moderna? And he said, yeah. So we ended up getting permission from the network and the producer, and we took a long lunch break. I walked him over there, and we got him the booster.
Wow.
It was a little bit of a mess because he didn't have his card with him. So we eventually just talked him into giving him a new card with just the booster on it. So anyway, we're over there for probably 45 minutes. When we get back to work, the producers caught COVID. They've literally had a COVID outbreak while we're gone.
Oh. Wow.
So I don't know what to say. Him and I kept calling each other for days after that. Like, hey, man, remember when we dodged COVID by going to get the booster?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what happened, but it sounds like somebody caught it and started exhibiting signs of illness while we were gone. And so there goes the neighborhood.
Mm.
Then I go back to my other show. And on the other show, we're on the second day of filming for that week. And the cameraman comes in and he says, Rebecca, I think I have COVID. Let me tell you, I sure wish when that happens that I could just shut the show down. But I'm supposed to go to like a network guideline or a network manual or call the network, right? So
right.
I called the network and I'm like, he's telling me he thinks he has COVID, but he is, you know, testing negative. Mm. So they send a nurse out to the set and I kick him out. I kick him out. He's trying to hang out in the house. Okay. I kick him out in the yard, and I'm like, sit on a chair out here, wear a mask. Because he's still trying to give instructions to other people. He wants us to still set up all of his equipment like we're going to roll today. So that's what we did, but we did it for him
mm-hmm.
while he was quarantined to a chair out in the yard. So one of our favorite nurses comes over from a testing lab. She tests him 2 different ways. I want to say a PCR test and a rapid test.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them, I'm guessing the PCR, she has to run back to the lab to run the result. So we leave him out in the yard, and she goes running back to the lab, but he passes that first one. And then she calls us like a half hour later. He's passed the second one. So we let him in. We call the talent. We film all day, right, inside of an Airbnb.
Wow.
The next day he fails.
Mm.
So I wish I could just shut down these shows when people tell me they have COVID. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, in the future, I probably will.
Mm-hmm.
But on that particular day, I tried to just handle it by the network guidebook. And what did I end up doing? Exposing myself and my whole crew. So how did I manage not to catch COVID that time? Well, I'd already known what had happened that morning. So whenever they said, okay, rolling, like they were about to start filming, I remember I would get up, walk out of the room, and go sit in the adjoining room and just peek around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can think of. I hope that the talent didn't catch it. I didn't get any calls that anybody else caught it. So I think we might have got lucky that day, and because we all wore a mask and stuff, it didn't get spread. But I do remember at lunch that the talent was like a famous criminologist, and I said, hey, you're sitting with me at lunch. And so that's it. I made him go outside and sit with me at a patio table. We were like at least 50 feet from the positive person. And then I later ran into Shambo, who had sat with the positive person. And I was like, dude, did you catch COVID? And he's like, no. I'm like, oh, my gosh. But talking to him, I found out Shambo had just got boosted. So anyone that had recently got boosted was spared. And that's kind of how I think this COVID thing goes down. If you keep up on the boosters every 6 months religiously, sometimes you can get directly exposed like that and still manage not to catch it. But if I didn't have a mask on, too, I would have been a goner, right?
Right, definitely.
So then the masks are important, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of embarrassed to admit that the first maybe 6 months of COVID. So when COVID first hit, I was working for HGTV in a Mennonite village in outside of Waco, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
This was like March 2020. And it was my babysitter who called me and said, hey, I know you're kind of like, you know, out in a remote village and you may not be aware there's something called COVID.
Oh.
And they're starting to shut the whole country down. I think you got to come get your daughter and go home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, my gosh, can I at least finish out the day, you know? And so I finished out the day and then the show Monster Garage called me and they were like, we're trying to shut down for COVID. We're trying to evacuate. We need someone to go into our production office in a hazmat suit in the middle of the night and grab a FedEx box and mail it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so I signed up to do that. I went and did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was it. I drove back to Slidell, Louisiana, where I had a house with my daughter and was like, what am I going to do? You know, my head was zooming. The world, the country's getting shut down. What the heck is going on? Right? So I signed up with Instacart to deliver groceries because I still had to make money, right?
Sure, of course.
And I want to say I ended up doing that for a month or two before I talked to Mason that day and ended up, you know, becoming a COVID compliance officer. And so that's pretty much where we're at. So I'm still a COVID compliance officer, and now what? We've passed 2 years of it, right? Or we're right around, we just passed my 2-year anniversary of being a COVID compliance officer.
Congratulations.
And thank you so much. And so lately on some of my most recent COVID compliance jobs, I'm, you know, proud or lucky to say that we're back to haven't had any outbreaks on my set in super recent times. So that one happened December. We had one January. We had one February. I was working on a show as an actor recently, and I went to the medic and wrapped out like a fake sick to go home because the set looked really COVID unsafe and I wasn't working COVID departments. There was nothing I could do about it. And I found out later that some of my friends who stayed caught COVID.
Mm.
I actually felt really guilty about that, that I had basically done what you do in school and fake sick with the medic to go home early. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I just found that after 2 years of being a COVID compliance officer, I have a pretty good spidey sense for when it's not safe. And Don, I bet you do too at this point. And I find that that if you're trying to dodge COVID, you know, that that at this point in the pandemic, there's a lot of tools and tricks that will help you, but that your number one best tool is your own gut instinct. And so if you're in a situation that feels unsafe, you should leave.
Yes. Yes. What a journey.
And so, Wow. Yeah, and so a lot of my life lately, like, to be honest, this summer, I've had a few times where I've almost gone broke because I've walked off some unsafe jobs.
Yeah.
I had a commercial hire me, and when I got down there, they were all riding in a van together with no mask on. And so I walked up to them and said, "Where's your COVID compliance officer?" Because, again, they'd hired me as something else, crafty or something. And so I've learned now that when they hire me as something else, there's going to be a problem. It's like Mason originally said, I'm a nag about COVID compliance, right?
mm-hmm.
And so I've kind of reached the crossroads where it's that or nothing. I'm not going to work in an unsafe set.
Exactly. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to you for doing this work. I hope people are thanking you, but I want to say thank you. Because
thank you so much for thanking me.
Yes, exactly. Because, you know, how brave, how courageous. And thank you very much for what you're doing to save people's lives, even when they don't necessarily want you to save them.
Seriously, that's a big part. That's a big part of my job that sometimes I'll end up arguing with them and stuff. I took a Johns Hopkins online course in contact tracing, mm-hmm. and I felt like that course actually did something that was kind of off book, which was it helped me develop empathy for people that are in that situation. Mm-hmm. I think in the very beginning, I was kind of frustrated and losing my temper with those people.
Mm-hmm.
And now I try to understand where other people are coming from. And if there's one really big life lesson that I've learned from this whole COVID pandemic experience,
mm-hmm.
it's that maybe I assumed that other people were too much like myself in the past, that maybe
right.
they had a lot of scientific education or this
mm-hmm.
or that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been very eye-opening to me as a COVID compliance officer, how little people know about basic hygiene, about self-preservation. You know, sometimes when people are really fighting me on the COVID stuff, I still, 2 years into it, can't tell, are they suicidal?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What is the reason for not wanting to save yourself or your own family? Like, sometimes that's lost on me, and I can't even argue with them because I don't know where their head is at.
Mm.
But for me, in the beginning, when this first started, when I left that Mennonite village where we were filming, when Jackie gave me my daughter back, my friend Dave, who is, like, my chief nerd slash scientist in my life besides myself, he had showed up with a big sleeve of N95s.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, "Here, I only have like 30, but here's 10.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he gave me about 10 or 15.
Yeah.
And so I hit the road with just that. That was all I had. I didn't even know where to buy them. I didn't have any others.
Right.
I had this one sleeve of masks.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that after I got home, that the show My 600-Pound Life called me. And they talked me into going to Meridian, Mississippi and working for a day. And you know what? We all wore a mask. We never went in the person's house.
Mm-hmm.
And we were super duper COVID compliant, and yet somebody ratted us out to the news, and we ended up being the subject of a very disparaging Deadline.com article It was okay. It just said that my 600-pound life still rolling during shutdown and this and that. Tried to make us look like big jerks,
mm-hmm.
and it was really lame because they, you know, done every possible precaution, and we weren't up in the person's house. In my particular case, I was working DIT, which is like transferring digital files.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of COVID, they actually ran an electrical cord out to my car. I was working from the driveway.
Oh.
We all were.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody actually went in this woman's house, yet we got ratted out in the media for supposedly being jerks. For finishing up the audio files on an episode. But anyway, you know, after that, I realized, okay, well, I guess they're, you know, really going to shut down the film industry here for a month or two or something. So I went back to delivering groceries and stuff, but that was kind of discouraging. And, you know, they never got an apology or anything. But this is my one chance to say, hey, my 600-pound life was being really safe at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so that was that, you know. And I want to say that from that moment forward, which is probably April of 2020,
mm-hmm.
that I don't think it might have been August before I worked in film again. Like, I thought it was just 2 or 3 months, but it might have actually been 4 or 5. And so we're just at a weird crossroads in the film industry now. We're
sure.
like some of the shows don't want to have a vaccine mandate anymore. There's this whole argument that, you know, people think the vaccines don't work. Well, if they don't work, how come I've never had COVID?
Right.
I kind of feel like they work, but that there's some sort of messaging lost in the fact that it's not just vaccines alone, mm-hmm. that that you have to wear a mask. And then I'm embarrassed to admit that only recently have I really started investing in HEPA filters and realizing that there's no way out of it unless you clean the air.
That's right.
And like I was telling people even at the beginning of COVID, mm-hmm. if you ignore COVID, it is still there.
That's
you have
right.
to do something
yeah.
to
yeah.
kill it. Whether
yeah.
you spray Lysol on it, whether you deep clean your whole house with different chemicals, whether you use a bunch of fans to blow it outside,
mm-hmm.
or however you choose to get rid of it. Once everybody in the U.S. or the world took the masks off, it blew everywhere. And I mm-hmm. don't even know how we're going to clean it up now.
Mm-hmm.
I think at one point it could have been cleaned up. You know, I feel like
yeah.
it should have been treated like a contaminant.
Yes. Yes. And we've seen other countries do that. We've seen other countries.
Yeah.
Do certain things.
Yeah, there are some countries that are definitely handling this whole situation better, and it mm-hmm. sucks because I think some of the countries that are mishandling it now took our lousy lead.
Oh,
one of the stories that I keep hearing, and I don't know how much of it is real or an urban legend, it's just like something that goes around at work, and I can't remember honestly if it was Australia or New Zealand. Mm-hmm. I think it was New Zealand. One of those countries had almost zero cases of COVID. And
yeah,
it was like
New
a
Zealand.
Year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they goofed up and failed the COVID test, the person who was driving the airport shuttle van.
Oh, no.
And that one person gave it to the entire country because they were catching it from everyone at the airport. And then they ended up giving it to everybody in quarantine. And then those people were let out of quarantine.
Mm.
But it's just really sad because they had it like under control entirely. And then forgot to test the one or two people that they trusted to be breaching that COVID wall or whatever you want to call it. And I think that we're really in trouble now, like as a community, as a world,
yeah.
as a group of nations, for the following reason. And I keep seeing this brought up on Twitter, but I think
mm-hmm.
it's a legitimate reason.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that are in decision-making places have had COVID multiple times now.
Right.
And it's just not mm-hmm. clear how much their judgment is compromised by that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was a clip going around yesterday on Twitter, and I'm not even sure what her job title is. I think it's a woman who maybe is in charge of a province in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a little clip of a speech, and it didn't make any sense. Like, she just started saying nothing words. It was like a word salad. It didn't even sound like a sentence, and then went right back
mm-hmm.
into trying to make sense about COVID. And it's like, wait a minute. What you just said didn't even make sense.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
But we're just seeing more and more of that, too, and I'm not even sure. I feel like that might be, I think the future of COVID is going to be people realizing that they have to clean the air, more investing in air purifiers and businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Even on a small scale, I was shocked how inexpensive some of the smaller size HEPA filters are on Amazon and stuff. I just got an IQ air machine, and as you saw, I went viral on Twitter because
yes.
I had dragged it into my job one night.
Absolutely.
We were filming in a grocery store, and it was kind of scummy. They didn't appear to have a lot of COVID compliance going on, and I didn't feel like dying. So
right. That's right.
I told another actor, but we were actors that night in the ad. And so I told another actor in the ad, and he goes, let's go to your car and get it. And him and I just slept that thing right in. And he was laughing because I made up some weird excuse to the cashier at the front of the grocery store. I said, yeah, we just need to load in this equipment or something stupid. and we just walked past, and it became a game because we plugged it in, and everyone started thinking it was something that had already been there. And so we watched a bunch of people clock out of a time clock and just walk right around the HEPA filter. It was pretty funny, honestly. How many people thought this thing had already been there?
Right, and should have been.
That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
mm-hmm.
and so I think that's the key to getting out of COVID. If I stuck a HEPA filter into a fairly cramped environment and people thought it had already been there, then they're definitely not going to notice if you put a HEPA filter in your classroom somewhere, if you put a HEPA filter in your workplace somewhere.
That's right. And in fact,
so I think...
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah?
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, if you do it, like you did it,
yeah.
and the majority
yeah.
of responses to it were positive on Twitter. I mean, people were like,
"He's got
way to go, yay!"
It got over 3,000 likes, and a bunch of my tweets now are getting between 50 and 500 likes every time now,
right.
Just from that.
Somebody has to go first. That's what I think.
You know what? When I did that, I think that's why the tweet went viral. It was discovered that a lot of people were doing it. There were a lot of other people who showed a picture of them schlepping a HEPA filter into their job.
Right.
And so I think that it opened up a Pandora's box that
that's
we got to do this.
That's right. And it's just like, I think it's almost like fashion. You know?
Yeah.
It's almost like when somebody wears this, then everybody else wears it, and then it becomes, you know, fashion or whatever, as opposed to style.
Yes, yes.
And so
when
we
wear our
masks.
And I've been trying to bring that into the tweets, too. That's cool. It's cool to wear a mask.
That's right. That's exactly right. And popular culture is culture. And so when we wear our masks, when we work remotely for some of us who, say, okay, it's still okay to do that, or I'm not sending my child to a non-COVID compliant school, you know.
Yeah,
or,
when you take a stand,
yes,
you might be inspiring someone else to take a stand.
You
and that might save their life.
You have inspired me because
thank you for that, because I feel selfish because I really just started this out wanting to like save my little group.
Right. Yes. Okay. Which is totally normal and good.
And so I signed an NDA, so I'm not going to say who the client was, but I worked last week at a television station on a commercial for one of the U.S.'s top insurance companies.
Okay.
And they actually had me be Captain Hardass and sit there and make sure nobody cheated on their COVID test or anything. But anyway, while we were doing this, they discovered that myself, my two children, my ex-husband, my ex-boyfriend, Chris, and like my two best friends, that there's a group of like 7 or 8 of us that have never had COVID.
Right.
And the room got quiet. The room got quiet at this room full of healthcare executives. And they said, I think you're the only person we know like that. We should almost start a study on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt so many different weird emotions because I don't think I did anything special. Mm-hmm. My friends and I guess if I did one special thing, I was really evil to all my friends, and I would call them and argue with them and guilt trip them and make them feel bad if they missed a booster.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that's good.
So I did that. And then I noticed the other day that my old neighbor... So I moved 18 miles away because my house got hit by Hurricane Ida.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. The new house is better shape. But but I'm still friends with my old neighbor. So my old neighbor, I nagged into getting the booster last week, the Omicron booster. And I noticed when he pulled his card out that all 4 of his shots were within a week of my 4 shots. I had nagged him through the whole experience.
Yeah.
But anyway, my neighbor, Michael Lanning, and me, Chris, my two children, like I said, there's 7 or 8 of us. Dave, the guy who originally gave me the sleeve of N95s, is always the first one in our group to get every booster and start the nag. And then my ex-husband, Mike, is always the last one in the group, the one that we're all, like, shouting and guilt-tripping the most at the end. He's always the one.
We love you.
But, exactly. We don't want you to die, man.
Yeah.
And so actually today, after I'm done on your podcast, Chris called and said that he has a ride to CVS for his booster today, but he needs a ride back.
Okay.
And so even though, you know, I've gone pretty broke this summer doing this kind of stuff, I'm going to go drive the 20 miles down there and give him a ride and drive the 20 miles back. And you had mentioned it, so I'm just going to say it, even though I'm kind of embarrassed to do it. If anyone wants to donate to my crazy COVID compliance cause, my PayPal address is blackfrancie, BlackFrancie @gmail.com. And my Cash App is $Rebecca Chalew. My last name is spelled Chulew. If I happen to get any donations from this, it will just go to more masks and more nagging people to get boosted. And honestly, if I raised enough, I really want to buy one of those Aeronet 4 CO2 readers. I'm ashamed to say I don't have one of those yet. I did get a manufacturer coupon for $25 off, but I think it's still about $200 or $225. So I would love to get one of those. And you should get one too.
Yes.
And do you know what I'm talking about? You've seen them on Twitter, those little readers. I love if you click on Aeronet 4 as a search term on Twitter, You can see people carrying them all over the world. And then in the comments, they're getting reamed out if the reading is really bad and they didn't leave. Mm-hmm. I actually find a lot of humor in that when when they're like, oh, Miss Phantom of the Opera. They're like, it says 1800. Get out of there. Get out.
Who cares?
Run out.
Exactly. You
know?
Get out of there.
Oh, my God. They should make a reality show that's called Dodging COVID. That's just all people with those Aeronet 4 readers on an amazing race-like thing where whenever the reading gets too high, they get buzzed out or something.
They're going to run.
That would teach everybody about the Aeronet 4 readers, too. They really should do that.
Absolutely. Well, I hope everyone will take a moment and donate while we go to commercial. And then when we come back, wow, we definitely need your wisdom. And so we'd like
Let's play Ask Me Anything when you come back, and you can ask me some of your questions.
We need you to help us save our lives and save our loved ones, even with this crazy sort of environment, you know.
It looks like the government's not going to do it for us. Yeah, no. We're definitely going to have to band together and do it for ourselves.
Well, as Indigenous people, we kind of know what that's like. We kind of know what it's like to have to.
I don't know if it came up before this, but I'm a Jewish person, so I totally get it.
Absolutely. Wonderful. We are so happy you're here. We'll be right back. And please donate. Please share with this wonderful force for good.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Jess. I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds, can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard, they pray hard, and never look back once the world forgets.
We are loving this show today because it's giving us hope. You know, the reason, one of the big reasons that there are so few of us, First Nations, Native American, Indigenous people in the earth today, in colonized places, is because of pandemics and genocide. And our guest today is very precious to us because she has the expertise and knowledge and wisdom that can help us to keep our families safe. We have friends who listen in 160 countries and all 50 states from all different backgrounds, ages, stages, ethnicities, everyone. And many of us have this in common. We want to live. We want to live long, healthy lives. We want to have our families live. We want to have prosperous, abundant, healthy lives even in spite of COVID and all of the disinformation, misinformation, and denial swirling around it. Would you reintroduce yourself to our friends, please?
I certainly will. My name is Rebecca Chaloux, and I'm a COVID compliance officer for television and film. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I think thriving is a good word to throw in there, too. We don't just want to live.
Yes,
we want to thrive at whatever capacity that we can, given the situation that we're in, right?
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Yes, thrive.
Can I take a second to give a shout-out to a Native person who's a friend of mine?
Of course.
I just wanted to say that I have a friend named Lauren J. Reed, and her and I were actresses in a movie together called Lost in the Sun, where it looked like we were an escort to Daryl from Newhart, if you remember Daryl from Newhart.
Yeah.
So anyway, I met Lauren on that show, and we worked together on another show called From Dusk Till Dawn, the TV series. But I just wanted to give her a shout-out because she's a Native American and also a really wonderful artist, really good at painting. So she's on Facebook, Lauren J. Reed. If you ever get a chance, she does a lot of paintings of Indigenous people. Her work is really, really good.
Oh, beautiful. I love that. I think it's so wonderful when all of us boost one another. You know, when we all...
You got to check it out. Her stuff is just so many leagues beyond me drawing Garfield on a piece of poster board.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
She's
one of those people just really excels at everything that she does.
Oh, how wonderful. That is lovely. Thank you so much for that. And, you know, I'm so relieved you're here, honestly, because... The voice of sanity, you know, like good sense, like someone said.
There's so much mixed messaging going on. To be honest, it was making me really depressed.
Yes.
Before I had that tweet go viral, I was depressed day after day because I started to wonder, I'm still wondering, is the safety going to completely disappear from my job? You know, how much longer is the film industry going to be able to hold out from this extreme COVID denial that's going on? Nationwide. There's a tweet that I retweeted yesterday that I thought, I don't know if there's any basis in reality in it, but it really made me think, and it's come up a couple times now about people that have already had COVID in the past may have some sort of Stockholm syndrome or something.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Where they just don't believe COVID is that bad anymore once they've had it and survived it. I'm not saying everybody feels this way. But there's some percentage of COVID survivors who are like, oh, it's no big deal. You can take the mask off. And, you know, that it's been, you know, upplayed in the media. It's not as bad as you think. It was no big deal for me. Right?
Those are decisions, right? Those are popular culture decisions. For example, I was watching a show, very, very popular show the other day that has to do with crime and detectives and all. And there was an assassin who was wearing a surgical mask and escaped into the crowd. And they made a point of having one of the police people say, hey, we couldn't identify him. He was wearing one of those COVID masks. And I thought, oh, wow, okay.
That kind of sucks.
Another point in the show where very popular show, incredibly popular, good show, well done show. But they had deliberately written in that someone's mother had passed away. Oh, but she had a pre-existing condition. And I thought, already they're trying to minimize and deny, make fun of, criminals are going to hide in crowds at the Piggly Wiggly because they're wearing a surgical mask.
Yeah. Well, I see something else in what you brought up, too. I'm going to point out something else that I've noticed in this story about this TV show that you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're calling it a COVID mask, and then they're bringing up pre-existing conditions.
Right.
Okay, when they film a show, it takes at least 3 or 4 months to edit it, and sometimes it'll get held on till the next season, right? What if it was filmed at the end of the season, right?
Right.
So I think what's going on here is you're watching an episode that they filmed after COVID came out, but that when they still didn't know much about COVID.
Okay.
And so that's probably why they were trying to bring old talking points into it. Right? I feel like that one is a really old talking point. What was it about the pre-existing condition?
Right.
Fable. Let's call that a fable.
Mm-hmm.
So, but both of those, like calling it a COVID mask, both of those things make me think that episode was written over a year ago.
Okay. Well, see, that could be. And one of the things I'd love to ask you about, I want to get really practical here. Because
we're
just like you said just then, there's fables, there's old material, old information, you know, there's disinformation and misinformation.
Yeah.
And then there is just good old-fashioned denial.
Yeah, yeah. And when you mix all of that stuff together, the messaging that someone who's not overly interested in COVID or interested in science, they're getting a really mixed message.
Yes, yes.
So they don't even know what to do. Yeah.
Right. I mean, we don't, you know, I'm one of those people actually who had a pandemic baby even.
Okay.
You know, and so, I mean, the world, we just decided that we would social distance, that I would work remotely, that, you know, we would make decisions, aggressive decisions. To keep this child safe.
COVID parents, yeah.
Right. I mean, and there's
I'm totally in that boat, too, with my 5-year-old. Yeah,
so. COVID, parents. I mean, this is an era where parenting is just wild.
Completely off the grid, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know if I'm an expert or a crazy person as far as what I did myself, but here's how it is in my family, and it's kind of heartbreaking. With my 2 children, I am able to make 100% of the decisions with the youngest one.
Okay.
Like on a legal perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So my youngest daughter, my ex and I agreed we are homeschooling her. So she's tablets, things like that. She's actually learned to read and write that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a success story. She was enrolled in virtual school, but when I tried to pull a vax card off the St. Tammany Parish School Board president and off her teacher, they were unvaxxed. They were unvaxxed. I called the police, and I went up there in a hazmat suit to collect my daughter's possessions, and they tried to hug her. They tried to hug her maskless, and they would have killed her. A week later, one of them tested positive for COVID.
My goodness.
So I was horrified by that and knew I'd made a good decision. I didn't expect it to go on for this long, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is now year 2 of homeschooling her. And now I wonder sometimes, is this ever going to translate into her going back to real school? And I decided this is happening to so many parents right now that if I just hang in there in the future, they're going to have a solution for this. They're going to have a way for these kids to make up any missing time. Something's going to come of this in the future. I have to believe it.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
So I just had to homeschool her in the belief that they're going to come up with a Band-Aid in the future because I'm not willing to give away my kids, you know. So my kid has a couple medical issues going on, my youngest daughter. Okay. Mm-hmm. So one of them is she's partially blind. The second one is something called low muscle tone, which makes them think she would probably die if she caught COVID.
Right. Yeah, sure.
So that was it for me. That made it so what I've been doing so far and have made it to this point is I work part-time most of the time, and I get the child's father to come and watch her. Or for a long time, we had a paid babysitter, and to be honest, she was a little behind us on the vaccinations, and she started becoming like a professional COVID catcher, where she caught it more than once, you know, and then her kids caught it, and she ended up closing her in-home daycare.
Oh.
And it's making me sad, because I consider her a friend and stuff, but I don't think she ever got caught up on the vaccines, and she thinks she's going to go be a school teacher now.
Oh, my.
And I'm worried this is going to be an end game for my friend, that she's going to end up super sick, catching COVID again, doing that. I'm not sure. At this point, the teacher should probably be scientists wearing hazmat suits. That's my opinion.
I agree.
If they're going to have in-person school, which is a mistake,
a mistake
that'll go down in history books as a big mistake.
It will. It will. And I taught at the university level for the majority of my career. So I can homeschool my toddler.
Absolutely, you can.
I can clearly do homeschool preschool.
I give you the permission to homeschool my kid, too, and I'm on the way.
Oh, bless you. I don't know if I'm that good, but...
You are now.
But you know what?
But that's the truth. We have to have a little more confidence in ourselves. Yeah. So my past babysitter and I, we were watching for a year my kid was doing the virtual school. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what gave her the idea to be a school teacher. We were watching and we were like, we could do this.
Yeah, you can do this. You can.
It wasn't that difficult.
You have to. You have to do the other part. You know, our medicine man said to us as part of ceremony, which actually took place virtually, he said, we can fix anything except The Undertaker.
Yeah, so, yeah. Once it's gotten to that point, it's too far gone.
But
yeah.
We can fix socialization. We can fix, if they need some extra information later down the road or science experiments or whatever it is, we can fix that. But
it sounds to me like the medicine man was saying that you have to value most deeply your own personal good health.
That's right.
And I agree.
If you
don't
have that, you don't have much of anything.
That's what I think. And it's so hard trying to explain that to people. And I don't understand. It almost feels like a whole generation of people lost their way somewhere. Like we had this whole generation of people in the 80s and 90s who kind of helicopter parented. They were working all the time. They weren't really watching their kids. I'm not really sure who was educating those kids. But those kids are adults now. And they're the fighters. They're the ones who don't want to wear a mask. They're the ones, you know what I'm saying? A lot of them didn't go to college. I think a lot of them might not have paid attention in school, and now they want to fight about it. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Don't fight me about what I want to do. If you don't want to do it,
that's right.
I think that's what you do you was supposed to mean. You do you, get out of my face, do what you want to do. But it's turned into a weird, different message where they're trying to make it, oh, you do you. Mm-hmm. Like, don't judge me for putting precautions on my family. The mistake is that you're not putting them on yours.
Right. So let's talk about some precautions that we can take. If we, you know, you have the right to catch COVID if you want to. But for many of
us, it's a freedom.
Zero COVID is our goal. We haven't had COVID.
Yes.
Our extended family hasn't had COVID. We're trying to keep the baby from having COVID. I mean, we so far so good. But I would love, because you're a professional, if you would give us some precautions that we can take that will help to protect us.
So in recent times, before I got my booster yesterday, or I guess day before yesterday, every time before I get a booster, I start getting very worried that I'm going to catch COVID. And so lately I've been wanting to like upgrade what I was doing. Like, can I do what I was doing better? I mean, it's cool that I've never had COVID, but can I really, really never have COVID? And so there were a few things that I am going to go ahead and recommend. Some of them are things that I'm still implementing in my own life.
Okay.
So some of them I'm not necessarily saying to do from experience. I'm saying to do them because you and I are avid researchers and Twitter users, and it keeps coming up in our conversations, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So first things first, I've been wearing a KN95 mask since March of 2020. I'm at home right now, so I'm not wearing it. And I generally don't wear it in the car unless I forgot to take it off. But I do wear it every single time that I get out of the car. And it seems important to note that I put the mask on as I'm getting out of the car. I don't wait until I'm in the doorway of a place. I almost think COVID would be completely eradicated if we all shared these little nuances of safety tips. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's I think, the trick. When you turn off the car, put the mask on then. Then I usually run my finger down the mask to see if it's gotten a hole or a rip or anything. And I have two or three different masks in my car. And I also just got a really fancy mask, but I'm not really good at wearing it yet. So it's sitting in my car, too. When I'm in a learning phase, I'll generally wear them around the house for a while until I feel confident that it's fitting. But so I'm still in the learning phase with my new one. But anyway, so that's it. I put on the mask before I go. And when the moment I step out of my car, that is the moment that I discard or throw away. I know as a Native American that you did this 30 years ago. As a Jewish person, I did this 30 years ago. But if you're not a member of an oppressed society, you're going to have to suck it up and do this right when you step out of the car. Throw away anybody else's preconceived notions of what you look like with a mask on.
Please do. Yes, immediately.
The minute you step out of the car, throw that in the car along with whatever. When you lock the door and shut the door, you're wearing a mask now. It's not negotiable. I actually almost never get people to heckle me, and there is one person that in my 3,000, I had some other popular tweet where I had said that somebody heckled me about wearing a mask, and I did this or that, and somebody actually replied to it, and they said, I live in Picayune, and I see you around town all the time, and you never get heckled. I have to admit that I don't actually ever get heckled. I just wrote that tweet because a lot of people on Twitter were saying they got heckled, so it was like a joke format. Full disclosure, I am a former writer at The Onion, so I do sometimes phrase my COVID compliance in the format of a joke, but no joke, nobody should be getting bullied about the mask. I'm glad it's not happening where you live. I don't think it's happening where I live. People claim it's happening somewhere. If it's happening where you live, you're going to have to be the one to maybe come up with a few witty comebacks that you could throw out if you're being bullied. Mm-hmm. Have some, I'm pretty good at just coming up with those off the cuff. If you're not, maybe just think of one the day before that you're just going to say, if anybody ever does that. Right? And it could be anything, you know?
Yeah.
It could be like, well, maybe I like being a healthy person. It could be anything, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But I think that, I'm guessing if you and I ever got heckled about the mask, that we said something back that was so witty that we didn't even realize we were being heckled.
Yes. Or maybe we just carried ourselves with confidence.
Yeah.
And maybe
That's what I wondered too.
Yeah. Maybe we glamorized it as well. And I want to shout out to you because of your profile pictures on social media, you wear your mask. And I want to really shout out to those people who still post pictures in masks. And some of the girls who come out of the hijab beauty movement, they've got their eyes made up and they look gorgeous in their masks. And, you know, I mean, we can
I agree. There's some great, I like when people post a picture in a mask because it allows me to see what mask they're wearing and try to figure out, is that a good mask? Like I honestly, like I said, I come from an acting background, like a film and TV background. Yeah. So I'm not actually like a medical professional per se. And so sometimes, you know, like I can be stupid, you know? One of the things that I think I was dumb about, like all this time I've been wearing KN95s and N95s and stuff. It wasn't until the last 2 or 3 months that I really, really researched it and now aware. There are like P100s. There's like
N99. Right. There's an N99.
Like
yeah,
you don't
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to settle for 95%.
Right.
And so I've got one of these masks now that that is like I think a 99 in studies, you know. And now it's just a learning curve of trying to get it not to be too tight on my nose. I feel like it's tight on my nose and not quite tight enough around my mouth, but it has all these straps that I'm continuing to adjust, and one day I'll hit that magic perfect fit. I'm sure I will.
Mm-hmm. You will.
And,
you absolutely will.
Getting on the bike again, right?
Yeah, exactly. As we close, I want to say this again to you. Thank you for your courage and your bravery. Thank you for sharing all of this with us, because all of our ancestors persevered. They survived so that we could be here today. And we need to be good ancestors, too. We need to be good parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins and friends and loved ones. And my granddaddy used to say, love has arms and legs. Well, I'm going to add to that. And sometimes it wears a mask and it gets vaccinated.
I agree. I love that. I love that.
We're so thankful for you. We're so thankful you're here today.
I'm thankful for the opportunity to have been here on your podcast. And I honestly hope that we're not eyewitnessing the end of human civilization as we know it. I can't guarantee that we're not, though.
I don't know.
But I hope
that
we're
not. But I know this. I know that true love will help us to protect ourselves and our families. And at least we'll go out fighting.
Yes. And even if we don't make it, if our last moments are with our family, then that is what matters most, right?
Absolutely. The only
that we were there for them.
That's the only thing that really matters. Before we go, will you please share your Cash App and PayPal links one more time? I'm sure there are people who are going to want to help you do what you do.
I absolutely will. And a reminder that if anyone chooses to donate, that I'm simply going to re-up my my mask stash, which I do share with my low-income neighbors and with everyone that I meet. I also badly want to buy an Aeronet 4 reader unless anyone wants to donate one to me. And again, my email address, if you want to reach out to me or send me PayPal, is blackfrancie, BlackFrancie, @gmail.com. People ask me all the time, why is it Black Francie? Black Francie is the first Black Barbie. I'm one of the world's top Barbie doll experts. You can also send me pictures of your Barbie dolls to get them identified.
That is great.
But that's where it comes from that little back pocket thing. And then my Cash App is $ Rebecca Shalou. My last name, which is a historically Jewish last name, is Chalaveh, which in America we pronounce Shalou, and it's spelled C-H-U-L-E-W, Rebecca Shalou. So thank you for having me as a guest on your program. I really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with all of my friends. And I hope that you will stay in touch with me and let me know that you guys are doing good. And if you're ever in dire straits, I will do my best to help you.
That means the world to me. And I truly, deeply appreciate you joining us today. I appreciate all our listeners and everyone who makes this labor of love possible. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and we'll see you next time.
got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.